sponsor of the Indian Film Festival of Los Angeles, celebrating its 20th anniversary from April 18th to May 1st at the Regal Cinemas at LA Live in downtown Los Angeles. This year's lineup features not only films from India, but also Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, and Afghanistan. Festival events include the opening night film, Last Film Show, screening at the Harmony Gold Theater, along with features, shorts, special live events, including a masterclass hosted by filmmaker Anurag Kashyap. Further information is available at kpfk.org and indianfilmfestival.org. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. The time now is 6 a.m.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I was running for office, Scott. You heard it 1,000 times from me, that we're going to build an economy around you. I'm so tired of trickle-down economics. And I never found that trickle-down on top of my head very much. I was listed. I had the great pleasure of being listed as the poorest man in Congress for 36 years. I still had making a hell of a lot more money than anybody else because I was getting a senator's salary. No kidding. I didn't think you should make money while you're in office.
POTUS, in the hizzy, went on to say, the president.
An awful lot of people are hurting. It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. The cost of a dozen eggs, the cost of a gallon of gasoline. It matters. It matters. So I concluded when I ran this last time that we're going to build this economy from the bottom up and the middle out.
Yes, and finally.
The fact is, folks, that, there are 50 of the top 500 corporations in America last year that made a total of $40 billion in profit. They didn't pay one single penny, not one. The average percent the billionaires pay of the 790 of them is about 3.8%. Just pay your fair share.
Yes. Thank you, POTUS. And thank you for the best economy in, what, 50 years?
Yep.
Lowest unemployment rate? Okay. I can't even, all the other accomplishments. It's just a shame that his presidency will be ending tomorrow, according to the MyPillow guy. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to President Biden for getting us through this horrible pandemic. Millions and millions of people vaccinated. Unemployment from 6.5 to 3.5. What else? I'd just like to say thank you.
Yeah.
As he concludes his time in office, as the election will be overturned, something,
magic.
Tomorrow. Whatever, tomorrow.
There's according to magic and time travel.
He was kidding the first six times. It's tomorrow.
Right.
It's tomorrow now. Okay. Unless he's high, which is could be true since it's 4:20.
Oh.
That's good coffee.
I take it black, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos El Rocky.
I'll have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
Jim never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos El Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And baked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
Oh, what's up, guys? Hot 4:20. All right.
Oh, it's Todd. It's Todd from Santa Cruz.
What's
hi.
What's up, dude?
Hi.
The slugs are in the house.
And when I say hi, I mean hi.
Hi, what's up, dude? It's 4:20. Is this thing high? I mean, on?
Okay. Hi, Todd. Good morning.
Hi, what's up, dude?
You're speaking to a guy who had one gummy in his whole life and started voiding off a political talk into Dog Man, the series by David Pilkey.
All right. Hey, so. Carlos, you said you have to fly tomorrow. We've been talking about this.
I have to
fly to see my mom, and it's just this mask thing. I am furious, and it's taken a day to sink in about how unqualified this judge is, how outside her expertise she is. She heard no arguments. She was only supposed to rule for her jurisdiction. She ruled for the entire country, ruled unqualified by the ABA. Her husband's best friend is Stephen Miller, appointed by Trump at 33 years old, and this is 330 million of us. now that, you know, immune compromised, kids with, you know, under five that can't be vaccinated, right?
We have to visit our parents, our respective moms who are of age and living in a senior community.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's just nothing is more evident of America's impatience with small inconveniences, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I can't wear this piece of cloth any longer.
That's what I'm saying. Here's, we just talked to Malcolm Nance, at his age, picked up a gun, went over to Ukraine, and, you know, to put his own life on the line for freedom. And he's over on Fox News are whining about a piece of cloth being ending their freedom, right?
That Jim Jordan, Fauci lost, freedom won. No, like a million people died, lost, you fool.
Yeah, and we were just saying, three weeks ago, the UK just did this. All the flight crews are sick. They're canceling flights left and right. I mean, there's going to be another surge because of this. It's just, it's infuriating. Okay, here's where the argument we've gotten into. I don't remember the details, Chris, of Robert's story, but he broke someone's nose, told him not to wear a mask or something. But I was just saying, I didn't get whether, did he say someone pushed him? Mm-hmm. He was saying they wouldn't let him physically leave or something, and they were bullying him about wearing a mask. But I just was saying, the last thing I want is more violence. Over, you know, we just had 6,000 incidents on flights about anti-masking, you know, and so
it's so funny how preceding COVID, how it was so acceptable for us when we saw Asian cultures in Beijing, for example, because of the pollution, wearing masks, and it seemed to be more prevalent in the Asian culture where they would wear a mask during flu season, and it's like perfectly acceptable
because it's respectful to other people. Oh my God!
And respectful to other people, protecting themselves, and now because it's so politicized, you get the Bill Maher saying, "Oh, you're virtue signaling." I'm not. I just want to wear. You're wearing a seatbelt. You're virtue. You're taking off your shoes through the TSA screeners. I'm just doing what's safe. It's fine. Go live your life. Why are you looking at me, O.J. Simpson, through the window? Leave me alone.
Thank you, Lori.
I moved on with Ron Goldman and masking.
Lori in Minneapolis is pro Chris and Robert and violence against anti-maskers. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm the official Billy Jack liberal of the Stephanie.
There you go. Carry a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And first, I would like to know, Steph, if you can set up a date for me with Malcolm when he gets back.
Oh, be your pimp? Why, sure. I don't know.
Yes,
Madam. I am diving closer into the questioning area, so you may have to, you know, literally go through me.
Yay. Well, yes, and I am on Team Lavoie and Team Robert
regarding
how to deal with mask holes. Because I've had to deal with them, and I called you about that, where I had to scream at a guy who kept teasing me for wearing a mask. And kumbaya won't do it, but I think...
Here's one thing that'll do it. Just say, I'm wearing it because I have COVID. Sorry.
Yeah, that works too.
Yeah.
But don't put them in the nose. Aim lower. Kick them in the T3. They're tiny, tan testicles.
Okay. Chris has another suggestion, too, for what to say when someone gives you...
I'd rather be wearing this than be a festering vector of disease like you.
Yeah, so see, he didn't even go to punching first.
I'm just going to go, chill, bro.
All right.
Chill, bro.
Chill, bro. I got bad breath. I'm doing it for all of you.
Tony from Atlanta says, Stephanie, let somebody threaten your dog and see how fast you punch them in the nose. I wouldn't punch them in the nose unless they were physically trying to do something to my dog. Let's not promote punching people in the nose without, I just don't want to be in this same cycle now. Where now we have, you know, the violence continues only over, you know, people wearing masks getting bullied, right?
Yeah. Why are you wearing a mask? I'm horribly disfigured.
Have you seen Phantom of the Opera? That's why.
I don't want to make the children vomit.
Yes, exactly.
I'm preserving your wife's kisses on my lips.
Nice, nice. Smack talk. Like it. Kevin in Washington. Hello, Kev.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay.
And, yeah, and I am on Team Chris and whatnot. Maybe it's the fact, perhaps, that you're a girl. But someone of my shade someone of my shade all my life has had to sometimes get physical. It's just, it's sometimes like that. You know, ordinarily, I'd agree with you if I could. Also, two other things. One, if you need practice for making out with Malcolm when he comes home, I'm always available.
You give. Give till it hurts.
Yeah. And,
By the way, your balls are not tan. They are blue. And I can testify from how many years I've been teasing you.
Did you say
color those suckers are. What?
You said testy for
me. She literally, if you want to know the dance, the grind, that's what she does when we meet. But it's okay. Mm. But check it out. I want to commend Malcolm. He's an incredible man. And when I compare him and the likes of Sucker Carlson, it just enrages me even more that he's allowed a platform that, you know, and this is the way you fight back. Not only him, but that young lady, I'm forgetting her name, that went viral, that snapped back on the cow that tried to use
the state senator.
Grooming. Yeah, and that other gentleman, a few.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. There's a number of ways to fight back. That do not
there's a number by the way, Charles with a question.
Bill O'Reilly, you know, when Bill O'Reilly, you know, JetBlue employee because of the delay. I don't think anyone was surprised.
They were probably understaffed because people weren't wearing masks
and they have COVID.
They have COVID.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We should just trap them all on one plane. This is your captain, Captain Fauci. You're all never leaving this plane.
That's funny. Okay. Wait.
That was a muhaha laugh with Fauci.
Would you like to hear a scared turtle? This is Mitch McConnell talking about maybe that they will be like a croc in the midterms if they pick crazy candidates. Yes.
How could you screw this up? It's actually possible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't nominate somebody who's just sort of unacceptable to a broader group of people.
Oh, you can.
And win. We had that experience in 2010 and 2012.
Yes. Well, they.
Well.
Okay. That's the Republicans being like a croc when they pick too many QAnon candidates. Okay. Aren't there a bunch of them, Travis, that are to believe in the big lie and God knows what other crazy?
Of course. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I think the president's richly deserved his approval ratings,
shut up.
Which are well below 40 now. The biggest mistake was the $2 trillion so-called American Rescue Plan that was passed
about
a year ago.
That all Republicans are taking credit for?
Yeah. Basis.
Uh-huh. Yes. Oh, you mean the one that rescued the economy and got us to 3.5% employment that Republicans are taking credit for in every district?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the big mistake? Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Carlos. We have got to turn out and vote in 2022. Seriously, we have to treat this like a regular election. We cannot vote in midterm numbers, right?
No, we have to overcome the purging, the voter suppression, the nefarious ways in which the votes may or may not count. So the numbers have to be so large so as to withstand and get past that.
And we joke about literally my pillow guy saying this is going to be overturned tomorrow. But where's this piece? New York Times. Trump allies are still feeding the false 2020 election narrative. They're still trying now to get the 2020 election. And this is a template for what they're going to do in 2024. This is, if you are not scared about this, there's something wrong. The January 6th panel is considering a change to the Insurrection Act because Trump was this close to invoking it, martial law, right? By the way, I kept thinking why he didn't do it. It's because Malcolm Nance always says he is a coward.
Oh, yeah.
He is a physical coward. He is a giant pussy of the highest order. It's only because he thinks he always thinks like he can get away with everything because, A, he has his whole life by putting it off on other people. But that, I think he knows, like, he would have...
It would have been on him.
It would have been on him. Only the president could order that. He was trying to get everybody else to do his bidding. The rioters, all the Pence, everybody around him, because he's a giant...
So he didn't order the code red.
Right, yes, because he's a... Because you're like, why? He had Flynn and Stone, all these people, Bannon telling him to do it. Like, why didn't he do it? Why didn't he just...
Red.
Yeah, why didn't he just
I
order?
Did the job. Did you order the code red? Damn right I did!
He didn't do the job.
Don't you think so? You know, Carlos, because when you read all about this, you're like, why didn't he take that final step and seize the machines and declare martial law and send in the military like he was talking about during the George Floyd protests? And it's because he knew that would get caught.
Be a direct trail, yeah.
Right.
Listen, I'm crazy and out of my mind and egotistical, but I'm not stupid, okay? That's why I send other people in to hug my children their entire lives. You go hug the rat boy. You hug that one, whatever his name is. Oh, Julie.
Bitey.
Okay, Don.
You hug Bitey.
You.
I'm Eric! Oh,
wait
God.
A minute. Ivanka, save Ivanka for me, okay?
Oh. Ew, Carlos Luis.
Ivanka's getting a little too old for
yeah,
Donald.
She's aging yeah. out like, yeah. Menudo, like
it's
Menudo.
It's gonna have to be Tiffany.
Ew.
Oh, you yeah. know she does not go anywhere near him.
All right, 20 minutes.
He's like one of my least favorite garden gnomes now. I just place her in the back. I don't want him to be up front anymore.
Damien in York, Pennsylvania says, Tucker Carlson versus Malcolm Nance. Let's see. One guy's literally fighting for freedom. The other doesn't even have the courage to admit he's been vaccinated lest he lose a rating point or two. Giant. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Damien. Carlos El Rocky is here.
Oh, I can't wait to see the war between DeSantis and Trump as 2024 approaches.
Yes.
Roger Stone
fight,
saying
fight.
He's a bleep, blah, 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 blah.
Fight, all fight. You're all awful. Big bag of rats.
Yeah.
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 Oh, be good. We have it. You can take a break. Oh, you're right. Yours is better.
Oh, ooh, get off me. Wait. Ooh, is it Ivanka? Stay on.
Ew, again with
what?
That. Bill.
I'm only saying what he said on Howard Stern.
Bill in Florida. Hello, Bill. You're on with Carlos.
Hey. I just wanted to give you guys a live update from Disney World.
Okay.
I'm currently at the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. No one is wearing masks, save for myself, my family, and a few cast members. It's mm-hmm. really kind of crazy
yeah.
down here.
Yeah.
I'm normally from Virginia. I live in Virginia. I am from Virginia, sorry.
Yeah.
And it's a lot different where I'm from.
Yeah.
Hampton, as a matter of fact. Chris, you might have lived there.
I did live there. Lived there for 7 years.
Is that the Lederhosen?
Awesome.
Lederhosen was at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg.
Yes, he wore Lederhosen. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only reason he took this job. There's no Lederhosen
exactly.
required.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coughing Mickey is frightening the kids.
My call.
What's that?
Coughing Mickey is frightening the kids. Hi, welcome to... Oh, sorry, respiratory.
Mickey is
COVID. Welcome to Disney... the happiest place on...
Pardon me. I'm sorry. Bill, Mickey?
Yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
I just wanted to say that's what's happening down here. People are done with COVID, whether COVID's done with us. And it's sad.
Yeah. COVID is not done with us. But
thank you,
Bill.
Love you, Steph.
All right. Love you too, honey. All right. Thank you for the. That was Be a Man from Florida checking in on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We will. Oh, are we looking for our. Okay, we're looking for... We have a Mickey
Remember
Mouse.
Remember, all this impatience, this type of impatient American was emphasized and set into motion with Reagan. I remember Jimmy Carter wanted alternative fuel.
Yep.
He wanted us to sort of use diplomacy. And Reagan was like, me. You get to be a baby.
Yeah.
Thank you, Uncle Ronnie. We hate our parents that make us brush our teeth. You don't have to do that anymore. Stay
That's
up
right.
late. Here's
jelly
some
beans. Jelly beans for everyone.
Yeah.
Is this off the hook or what?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
KPFK is a proud media sponsor of UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance presents Ukrainian quartet Daka Braka on April the 24th at the theater at Ace Hotel. As ambassadors for their music and culture, they will bring their riotous, ethno-chaotic, postmodern take on traditional Ukrainian music to Los Angeles. It'll be a celebration of international sounds and solidarity. For tickets and more information, visit cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
On Sojourner Truth, we work hard to bring you local, national, and international news and views. We are one of the most cutting-edge shows on KPFK and on other Pacifica stations. Want to find out why? Tune in to Sojourner Truth, Tuesday to Friday, 7 to 8 a.m. on KPFK 90.7 FM. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
Stephanie Miller.
Would you do me the very great honor of eating my shorts?
Uh-huh. I think that I've just grown testicles and tanned them myself just from being in proximity to this much manliness and high tea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, live from Ukraine, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's dance. Put on your big boy pants.
Really big.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Malcolm Nance.
Well, good late afternoon for me,
yeah.
And good morning for you.
As someone tweeted this morning, if you ever have to buy a drink or your own dinner again, we have failed as a nation, sir.
That's right.
So I know we have a little...
Oh, my God. Well, look out for failure.
I know we have a delay here, but I hope you've seen some of Twitter, because we are all just so proud of you and so terrified for you, and hoping to put a protective shield around you. So talk to us about what you're doing, and in case people have not heard, and how you're feeling this morning.
Okay, well, for those of you who listen to this show, you probably noted that I haven't been on in well over a month. And, you know, it was a little hard going to Travis every week and going, nope, secret mission.
Yeah.
And he goes, is it something you'll have to kill me if I tell
yes.
you? And I thought, well, technically, yeah. but I refrained. I'm in Ukraine. I left MSNBC. I let my contract lapse. I walked away from a rather substantial contract and a pretty large annual income. In the news media and podcasts and all that world, to join the Ukrainian army. I'm a member of the Ukrainian, International Legion for the Defense of Ukraine, which is commonly referred to as the Ukrainian Foreign Legion. And I am a legionnaire. And the reason that I'm on air is because it was decided at some pretty high levels of government that I'm, you know, a special snowflake because they didn't want me to be out somewhere where, you know, I would stumble into Richard Engel and an NBC crew on some battlefront or some near battlefront area. And then some, you know, somebody in media go, hey, that's Malcolm Nance. And then the story would break in a negative way. So the yeah. Ukrainian government decided to break this in a very positive way. Let me tell you some things. The Ukrainian Legion, the International Legion, is the best kept secret in this country. When you're reading all these articles about foreign fighters and Americans that are over there, you're not reading about the Ukrainian International Legion. You're reading about people we call freelancers who came here, didn't make it in the Legion, couldn't join, didn't want to sign contracts. And then they just went off and joined these territorial defense units or the Georgian units. The Ukrainian Legion is an actual combat force. It is populated with a lot of Americans. I mean, yeah. you know, I can't tell you the numbers, but they're in the thousands, and including men and women. It's equal opportunity because a lot of women have combat experience, but it requires every person have combat experience. They double vet you, and then they train you, exercise you, and then send you out to the battlefront with Ukrainian army units.
Aye. Oh, okay. Just sorry. I've had a lot of loss lately. I just am okay. You just, but as you put it in many arenas, you said, I'm done talking. And I loved your quote to the Daily Beast. You said, also, if anyone gives me any flack, just tell them to shut the up, since they're obviously who've never been in combat. The Legion only takes combat vets. So, you know, I don't know if you understand the timing. You have been over there, but Tucker Carlson has literally been doing segments about men with low testosterone tanning their balls. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of pictures of you alongside Tucker Carlson in terms of you showing what manliness yeah. looks like, I guess, right?
I saw that when I went, you know, I retweeted, I have the best fans because somebody put that image juxtaposition up, which was mine was I'm done talking, and the other one was I'm tanning my nut or tan your nuts. What is going on back
well,
there?
Malcolm,
only been, 5 weeks. So,
yeah, and you know what it took for me not to divulge a secret about what you were doing. But I have to say, people spotted you first in this interview on NBC as the Russian missiles were landing right behind you, to which I would have defecated my pants and run away so fast. And you were so calm explaining exactly what was happening, and the missiles were landing right behind you.
Yeah, about a quarter of a mile behind us, they destroyed a car repair body shop tire center and car wash, killing 5 of the 6 people who were there.
Yeah.
And it's the first time that they had used these caliber missiles against anything other than a major infrastructure. And we thought they were hitting the train station. And the reason I was calm, because I had heard the first explosion, but I didn't hear a jet engine. So I thought, oh, artillery training is happening somewhere around here. Because, you know, it's very similar to artillery.
Yeah.
Then the second time I heard, I go, is that a jet? You know, and I thought, and I was talking to the Ukrainian fixer, I go, have you ever had a Ukrainian fighter plane around here flying? Because, you know, they grounded the fleet because of the air defenses. And then I realized when I heard the second thud, I go, oh, that's a cruise missile. I literally said, that's a cruise missile.
Yeah.
And then I said, they come in 3s. Actually, this flight came in 4s.
Yeah.
And we could stand there, and then you could look at it. It's a little doodle bug looking thing. This little white streak with black wings fly right over the building. As we were standing there, it was actually falling into the buildings right behind us. So, you know, that's the nature of this war, but the strike also showed us the nature of Russia's desperation, because they didn't hit anything of real military value. Whatever they thought they were getting had moved. There were no secondary explosions, which is very well known because the media was right there. We were there. Actually, I went to the NBC crew. And then, you know, that whole segment was done so that, you know, they were filming the safe house that we were in.
Yeah.
So safe. We've since moved.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not so safe now. Right. Malcolm, so, you know, I know you obviously is a passionate defender of freedom and democracy. That's what you've been, you know, talking about for so long here. But, you know, you've said the same thing I've said, is this is not really a war. This is a terrorist attack against a sovereign nation. It's a genocide. And, you know, you were just saying that, you know, you are there to defend the Ukrainian people, period. Right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you saw the extended video when I was on Joy Reid, and by the way, the criticism of me going on Joy Reid is just phenomenal. But, you know, I said my friends were dying as the invasion was happening. They were bombarding them. And it's just utterly amazing that people don't understand that there are things bigger than yourself in this world. And I had been defending American democracy this last 5 years against, you know, what's going on in the Trump administration and the right wingers here. And now we have that on a mega scale where the Russians are calling for openly on their national TV for genocide in Ukraine, the elimination of the culture, the elimination of the language, the elimination of any people who do not comply. I am quoting a Russian state sanctioned television program that was actually hinting to nuke the city of Kyiv, and that would eliminate, you know, Ukraine's democracy all at one time. They are utterly mortified and terrified of democracy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I wasn't going to sit on my butt and, you know, point to the big board and not do anything about it. So the minute I got back, I started planning. I got all my military equipment I've had for years together, and I actually bought enough for the Legion to outfit an entire platoon for the Legion. And I came right back and joined the Legion.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, speaking of criticism, someone named Amanda tweeted, whoa, I just heard regarding Malcolm Nance that during the Trump transition team, he applied for a job in the administration, sent in his resume through folks who knew him from JSOC. He did not go anti-Trump until he got turned down for a job. Many such cases. And you just put a lot of laughing emoticons, and you said, cool story, bro. So I applied to the Trump administration and was pro-Trump in 2016. Someone clearly didn't read Plot to Hack America or watch TV. I mean it's not like this is secret information that you were anti-Trump.
They live in this delusional world where everyone is pro-Trump, and that when you get, you know, the only thing you could do is be disgruntled. And people are, these right-winger fantasies, my favorite ones are the critique of what I was wearing and the weapon I was carrying. And, you know, it was 2 a.m.
Right.
Okay, to do Joy Reid's show. Curfew's 10 p.m. So I was with military personnel. There were 6 other armed people around me because it's a secure location. We had to use white light at night. So if it looked like I was blinded, I was blinded.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I cleared that weapon three times, and somebody's like, you didn't seat your magazine properly. Well, at 2 in the morning, it's 0 at 32 degrees Fahrenheit in the middle of an air raid, which is why I was wearing my helmet. I was going to wear my fleece.
Oh, my God. By all means, let's focus on optics and not that you picked up a rifle and went to Ukraine to put your own life on the line. Let's focus.
No, no.
Oh, my God.
The haters going to hate.
Yeah, haters going to hate.
You know, but, you know, like I put that picture of the Army recruiter, you know, pointing to the chair. It's like, join up.
Yeah.
Or STF.
Yeah, or SDFU. Yeah, exactly.
Real quick. If any of you are under, you know, my age, super physically fit, combat veteran, and you want to fight to defend democracy, job is here. The Legion will take you. Go right to the fightforua.org website, and you can join the Legion. And you will be stunned at the number of Americans here. Just absolutely stunned.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of high testosterone Tucker fans that are listening right now. They're going to join up any second
with
now. As soon as their balls are tanned, I'm sure they're going to sign right up. Malcolm, you mentioned nukes real quick. You tweeted, caution the new Russian obsession with using nuclear weapons or claiming they will be used as a form of projection no sober adult should contemplate. They're talking like it's a viable option. This talk I cannot fathom. Watch these dangerous discussions very, very carefully. I mean, what is terrifying is, you know, that he's losing. Right. And bringing in the guy that was known as the butcher of Aleppo as the new head of the clearly these war crimes we're seeing on a daily basis. I mean, do you have a fear of chemical weapon, nuclear weapons? Do you have a fear of that as the more Putin's losing and the more desperate he gets?
I had a fear that they would use chemical weapons in Mariupol and they still could. But, you know, God bless Julia Davis. You know, she's that Russian analyst who takes all these clips from these panels that are the Kremlin's hand-selected personal, panel of analysts and politicians and ex-generals. And what they're saying is what the Kremlin wants them to say. And they have been saying for the last week or so that nuclear weapons are viable. They should use nuclear weapons to clear the Kremlin, to clear the city of Kyiv. And I suspect that they view that if they were to use a small tactical nuclear weapon on Kyiv, that it would only produce as much fallout as Chernobyl, which is right up the highway from Kyiv. And it's becoming terrifying. I mean, no sane adult should be using these words. None. There is no viability for nuclear weapons. And now they've done this thing in the last day where they said England is going to prematurely nuke Russia. And give them so that Russia would be forced to nuke Kyiv. And it's this bizarre fantasy world where it's like they want to do it.
Yeah.
And they think that this will clear this whole problem. Certainly after the sinking of the Moskva, the slaughtering of three combined arms armies, and, you know, the force that they have in the field right now can be beat, can absolutely be beaten. But the Russians have a mindset now that is dangerous. Absolutely dangerous.
Malcolm, you're obviously using your military expertise directly to help Ukraine now, but, you know, technically you're still a military analyst here for our show, at least. What is your take on, you know, what the state of the war is now and where it's going, and is Ukraine getting enough from us? I think you've talked about specific types of weapons with us before.
Mm-hmm.
What is your analysis of where we are and what should happen now?
Well, right now, the Russians are doing a push for a town just south of Kharkiv, which is interesting because they had taken this town in 2014, Slavyansk, and they are pushing south and north on a Ukrainian salient, on a little bubble of Ukrainian forces. And they think that they can cut them off with, you know, high quantities of artillery, just raising villages to the ground and you trying to get their armor forces to break through. I say on television, those arrows that point up and down from Luhansk and down from Izumi, this town they're assaulting from, those are just arrows pointing to tank graveyards. The Ukrainians are fighting bitterly. They're defending. This was just kicked off yesterday. It's a major component of the war. If the Russians win and they take Slovyansk, then, you know, the Ukrainians will have to fall back and start attriting them again with javelin. I think that the Ukrainians have the capacity to beat them. In fact, the Russians have one good analyst on Twitter actually identified that the Russians have one road for resupply. And if the Ukrainians get back there, whether it's special forces or partisans or just the Ukrainian army pushing forward, they'll be surrounded. So the Russians are taking a big gamble, you know, but Putin seems to think that this commander who's a butcher is going to do it. But if Russia loses, then I think they may go to chemical weapons or nuclear weapons. I just don't know.
Yeah.
The Kremlin is really crazy.
Well, can I just say, you are one of the early, only military analysts that early on said Ukraine can win this. And now you're putting your money where your mouth is. And I got to say, Tulsi Gabbard was just on Fox News, not just being a Putin apologist, but saying she's for the Don't Say Gay law. And it doesn't go far enough in Florida. So you were right about Tulsi.
Yep.
You've been right about pretty much everything since the get.
Moscow, come.
What's that?
Out there on... I said, wait till she starts providing color commentary for Russia Today from the Russian side of the battlefield.
My God. Okay. Well, listen, a lot of people are tweeting the picture of us at some red carpet event saying, I'm going to lose all of my gay entirely when you come home. But we were thinking we were saying, just for publicity, I've got to meet you in Times Square, and we have to reenact the photo of
the
soldier,
kiss.
The soldier coming home, the famous kiss.
All right.
Malcolm, please come home. Please stay safe. We are obviously all rooting for you and all so proud of you, okay?
Okay. Well, we'll be in touch.
All right, honey. See you
next
week.
Thanks, Malcolm.
All right. Thanks, Malcolm. Oh, boy. My soldier. Chief. Navy chief. Sorry, not soldier.
You are.
I got the wrong brand.
Sailor.
I'm
Sailor.
A quivering mess.
You are just, wow.
I'm going to get my poodle skirt now.
What in the basement?
51.
Uh-huh.
Travis Louise Bone. Now he's in the Navy. You're in the Navy now. You're in the Navy now. Okay. 50.
I think there are people who are misguided, trying to drive, Disney stepping in saying, in every episode now they're going to have, Mickey and Pluto going at it. Like, really?
Thank you for that image, Senator.
But it's just like...
Oh, my God.
Chris, I'm not a Disney homo. Mm-hmm. Mickey's a mouse,
And Pluto's a dog.
He's a dog.
A large...
Yeah. Pluto dog. is Mickey's dog.
Now we're getting to bestiality. That's not gay.
Yeah. I don't... Okay.
They both don't exist in real life.
Okay. All right. Fictional, but also the size differential would make it somewhat... Okay.
They're about the same size, actually.
Which doesn't make sense either, because Mickey's a mouse.
Right.
Okay. No, that also does not make sense. Okay, Ted, please, go on.
Come on, guys. Like these are kids, and you could always shift to Cinemax if you want that. Like, why do you have... It used to be... Look, I'm a dad. Like, you used to be able to put your kids on the Disney Channel and be like, all right, something innocuous will happen.
And you can still do that.
Does Cinemax have cartoon mouses, cartoon dogs? I don't... Okay.
They could.
I haven't watched in a while, but okay. All right. More importantly, we'll have Malcolm.
Did you say cartoon mouses?
Mooses.
Mice.
Mises.
You hate Mises.
Do they have cartoon dogs?
You hate
cartoon
Mises.
Mises to pieces? Okay. Brett from our friends at Midas Touch tweets, I'm so thankful to live in California where my governor isn't actively trying to stop the supply chain, make our produce rot, or go to war with Disneyland.
It's funny.
And their cartoon nieces.
It's funny how the Republican governor of Florida is going all socialist on all of these companies, trying to dictate what these companies do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to limited government in capitalism?
Exactly. They're in all our parts of our personal lives, right? Just who you can love, whether you can have a baby or not, whether you want to. Okay. Barack Obama doing his very own Bullerting this morning.
Oh.
He tweeted, part of the reason it's hard to bring about change is because we live in a media environment that elevates falsehoods as much as truths and divides people as much as it brings them together. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, check your calendars. My pillow guy says the election will be overturned tomorrow.
Tomorrow. We're going to be surprised.
If that's good for y'all. He said it's going to shock the country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't last October supposed to shock the country too?
Yeah, tomorrow's not good for me. Yeah. He said he pushed his latest claim that he is on the brink of overturning 2020 presidential. That was a couple of years ago. And even claimed that it will be tomorrow, if everything goes right.
If everything
Why wouldn't
right.
it?
Well, I
right?
mean...
He will secure a preliminary injunction against the long-settled results. He said, we are the preliminary injunction, and the first one in the United States is going to be... It's going to come out Thursday. We're looking at Thursday, if everything goes right.
If everything goes right.
Now,
that's a large qualifier.
Now, I'm not going to give you all the details, because he's a big-picture guy.
Why?
He's not going to... You sweat that.
Mm.
There's a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
It's going to shock the country, as a matter of fact, how we're doing these and how they're going down. Mm. What? So you journalists out there that are watching, you know what I'm talking about. All that you write the stupid stories on, you know, the subpoena and that subpoena, how you're talking about the biggest crime in history. Right. And how about the preliminary injunctions and what we're going with the evidence? We're taking the evidence from the machines because we know what's inside of them.
Question?
Like Easter eggs, they're going to crack them open, and that'll be tomorrow. Yes,
Am I going to be able to go to the gym tomorrow? Because is this going to get in the way of that?
I don't know.
I just want to go to the gym tomorrow.
How about this? A new federal judge has ruled that the case being brought by Georgia voters to disqualify Marjorie Taylor Greene from the ballot for being an insurrectionist can move forward. Greene will now be forced to testify under oath on Friday for participating in an attempted coup. What? Oops. She seems mad about that.
She's going through some things.
Oh, Margie Sporkfoot, go ahead.
And now the progressives, the people that donate to dark money groups,
no.
You know, the 501c3s.
Ooh.
And the foundations,
yikes.
They've hired up some attorneys from New York who hate the people in my district and don't believe that they should have the right to elect who they want to send to Washington, which is me. Mm. I have overwhelming support in my district, and I'm so thankful for all of them. Well, now they filed a lawsuit because they're trying to rip my name off of the ballot and steal my district's ability to reelect me and send me back to Congress.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you try to overthrow the government of the United States.
Yeah.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to protect myself. I have to go to court on Friday and actually be questioned about something I've never been charged with and something I was completely against. And so this
you
is how
wait.
Far it's going. These leftists, these progressives who would rather have the judge or bureaucrats making decisions instead of voters. They want to hand
you
that
mean like
over
the mask
to them
judge,
and
the
not
mask
let
mandate?
The people in my district
yeah, exactly.
to even have the right to vote for me.
You know, when judges rule their way, they're all about the judges.
Yeah. Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
But now, right, yes, okay. Oh, I see. You mean like one stupid Trump-appointed judge shouldn't have the right to decide the health of 330 million people? Like that?
Hmm. Okay. They're going to allow the press in the courtroom. They're going to allow the whole thing to be videoed live, out to go anywhere in the world they want to. And you know what that's going to look like? The Democrats and the nasty mainstream media, you know, the ones that lie about me constantly anyways, well, they're going to be able to twist and turn and clip out any little piece they want of the horrible things that these funded attorneys are going to try to say about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy.
They're going to clip out little bits? You mean to make you look like a crazy QAnon conspiracy theorist and insurrectionist?
Of me under oath when I can't lie?
Whoops.
Ooh.
Donna is the official travel agent of the Stephanie
That's
Miller
right.
Show in Maryland. Hi, Donna.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, so, you know, I got a list of things here with this whole mask mandate, and I'll keep it brief.
Oh.
First off, Disney is lifting their mask mandate, and you know that a lot of children still are not vaccinated.
Right.
So that's one mess. There's going to be cancellations due to the work staff, you know, getting sick. And you think there's cancellations now, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
And people are going to cancel. They're afraid, you know? So
I was just about to book my ticket to go see my mom Memorial Day, and I'm still going to go. I don't feel like I have a choice, but I would imagine a lot of people that do have a choice, Donna, are going to decide.
But here's the thing. Yesterday or whenever it was announced, those people on the airplane did not have a choice.
No,
they didn't
did
have a choice. And so if somebody gets sick, I'm not going to put it out there, but I hope that something happens if they get sick. But to go to another point is there are still countries and airports, well, there's still airports in the U.S. that have a mask mandate. So you think, you know, you can go willy-nilly. I mean, this is just going to be a mayhem.
Yeah.
And there's still countries that have mask mandates in public transportation.
Yeah.
So you can't just, you know, these people are just going to think they're going to do whatever they want, and it's just going to be one cluster,
Yes,
I won't say that word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, and the bottom line is the airline CEOs wanted it. That's where it came from.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I know. And, you know, and here we have one judge without hearing arguments, right, that was supposed to be only ruling, by the way, Donna, as we keep saying, for her district, and decided, no, this is nationwide just because I say so. Talk about, you know, one judge having that kind of power. It is terrifying.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller.
Hi, everyone. I know you've heard our fundraisers and likely thought, yeah, I should likely give something back to KPFK. Well, now's the time to do it. We all understand the value of separating luxuries from necessities and deciding what's truly essential. KPFK is one of those essentials. We provide in-depth, cutting-edge, intelligent coverage, and it starts with our amazing staff and volunteer programmers and with your financial support. Contributions from our listeners add up to the largest share of funding that pays the bills here at KPFK. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, encouraging you to become a KPFK Sustainers Circle member now. A sustaining contribution of just $20 or more a month is one of the most popular levels for our donors, and it takes just minutes to contribute. Just go to kpfk.org/support, then click Sustainer Circle, or call 818-985-2711. Thank you so much for your donation to KPFK, radio powered by the people.
That our COVID response should be guided by the science and data and by experts. And just as a reminder, when we had made this announcement, the CDC said it needed 15 days to assess the impact of an uptick in cases on hospitalizations, deaths, and hospital capacity. We still feel, that is entirely reasonable based on the latest science. And public health decisions shouldn't be made by the courts. They should be made by public health experts.
Yeah, 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 Jen Psaki, yeah. Hey, someone named Buzz Burbank tweets, cancel culture is a party that cancels voting rights, public health measures, climate science, and cancels books, even mathematics textbooks. Republicans are now even trying to cancel Disney. Next time you hear cancel culture, point to the party that actually does it. Wow! Where can I hear that sort of wisdom? Encased in a big, hunky, manly shell of smart and funny and nerd.
And tight t-shirts.
And nerd.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Speaking of dreamy, hunky men, why? Bob Seska joins us now.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast.
You're cute. I love you, Bob Seska.
Where are you coming from?
Bob is calling us from Washington.
You Seska thing.
Go ahead.
Washington, D.C.
Just follow the money.
Look at you. Big slab of 6'4". Manly, studly, sexy man meat. And you're still only the second manliest man on the show today. I'm sorry, but Malcolm Nance.
This is true.
Yes. Well, we're gonna have a tight t-shirt contest here between the three guys.
About that? You said go, Malcolm. I mean, man, right? Say what you will. Holy crap.
Yeah, I couldn't be more proud of our Malcolm Nance. My God, that's what it's all about. We sit here and we talk and we go on Twitter and we scream into the void all day and every day. And to me, it really, when the rubber hits the road like that, when someone just says, okay, you know what? I'm going to put my body on the line. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fly to Ukraine. I'm going to join the International Legion. I'm going to get my combat fatigues and we're going to do this. I mean, that's me. There's nothing more proactive. There's nothing more, ballsy. I mean, this is something that Tucker Carlson talking about this?
Yes. With exquisite timing, as usually, Malcolm, right after the ball tanning segment on Fox News.
I don't think Tucker Carlson is going to be attacking Malcolm Nance's masculinity anytime soon. Yeah. That's for sure. Certainly not with Tucker's laugh in the mix
which is
so much fun.
Bob, I have pre-read you before you, I don't know if you were listening, I pre-read you before you got here about the mask mandate, but it's just, as I said, on cue, you pointed to the, you know, they just did this a few weeks ago in Europe. all of these flights are being canceled because of sick flight crews. We are really full on, as you and I always say, in the idiocracy. You just said hospitalizations are rising at a rate faster than the winter Omicron wave, especially in Florida. I wonder why. And on cue, a federal judge from Florida strikes down the CDC mask mandate.
Yeah, we're doing everything. Everyone, let's put it this way. Everyone is doing everything wrong.
Right. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, isn't that, I should be tweeting that. That's like such a hot take. But it's true. I think to an extent, the time that we should be doing the mandates is when the virus is at its weakest, when the infection rate is at its weakest, because then if we do a big lockdown for a few weeks, this is why I'll never be president. This is why I'll never be a member of Congress. This is why I'll never work for the CDC. But needless to say, when you get to the lowest point, you smother it when it's at its weakest, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's just that's so 2020 eliminating COVID from our lives entirely. We've just let that one sail.
Yeah.
So now it's let's unmask and make sure there's another giant spike. So our flights are canceled. Hospitals are packed. So non-COVID patients who want to get care in hospitals aren't going to be able to get the care that they want. We keep walking into our own propeller.
Thank you. And spreading. Yeah. And the difference of the air travel and all of this, Bob, is you're spreading it to other communities everywhere. I mean, you couldn't think of a worse idea right now.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, this is, and I think what upsets me almost as much as eliminating that air travel mandate is the glee with which we do it. I mean, every time I see that, I don't know, there was some videos floating around, some photographs of people on airplanes with big ear-to-ear grins. Oh, no more masking. Yay!
Oh,
and I can't help but to think of the townspeople from The Simpsons. That's exactly what it feels like.
Yes,
I saw. It feels like the gullible, fickle townspeople from The Simpsons walking over the
USA
edge of the cliff.
USA!
Yeah.
Yay! No, I saw the one flight they played, Celebration. Did you see that? And I think it was one of the late night shows did like a COVID thing dancing, a little COVID ball dancing in the aisles.
USA! USA! USA!
It's like I tweeted, it's like we're watching a children's fable, the part of the children's fable where it all goes wrong. And we've seen that story, a dozen times since 2020, where everyone just does the wrong thing, most of the time led by political leadership along those lines. And it's immensely frustrating to see it go the wrong way every single time.
Yeah.
Just the choosing the wrong thing and just worsening everything.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's not like it's just us, Bob. Dr. Eric Feng Ding, you've probably seen him on Twitter, an epidemiologist. He said, so damn predictable. UK government drops restrictions. Airlines like EasyJet drops masks. Less than 2 weeks later, huge spikes in pilots and flight attendants out sick with COVID, unable to work. 120 flights canceled. Airline CEOs asked for this. He said, and this is, of course, before this just happened, a similar move by U.S. Airlines, he said, would backfire in many ways. He thinks more passengers would hesitate to fly if airlines ditch mask rules. I just said that to Karen. If there are no masks, that actually makes people more worried about taking the trip. It might make more people stay home and it bite the airlines. We were just saying that. I don't know. We'll see if the market decides. But when you look at the poll, it says 60% of Americans want the mask mandate to stay. That means these are, you know, as you say, we're the normals. And they're the stupids dancing in the aisles going woohoo. You know, they're the loud minority.
Yeah, well, look, I entirely sympathize with the idea of wanting to throw away your mask.
Yeah.
I assure you.
Yeah.
I am so, I mean, talk about done with COVID. Guess what? We're done with COVID, Stephanie.
Yes.
You know, even though we're noticing that, oh, this is the grown-up thing to do, to keep wearing a mask in public, so we're not part of the problem. That aside, we want it to be over. We desperately want to go back to a normal life. So I don't have to wear a mask when I go to the gym. I don't have to wear a mask when I go to the store. It's just it becomes something that we don't even have to do anymore. But we can't ever get to that place. We're never going to get to that place as long as we do the opposite of what we should be doing. The rhythm of this is entirely off, where we mask when it's at its peak rather than at its trough. And at its trough, that's when we can get rid of COVID once and for all. And we just don't do it. We take our masks off. Suddenly there's another spike and we're back. Around and around we go.
We all are.
Do I
trapped.
Sound crazy?
We're trapped in the car with John Candy. And we all know we're going the wrong way. We are going the wrong way. And we're going to kill everybody, Travis.
You're going the wrong way! What? You're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Thank you, thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you!
You're going in the wrong direction! You're going
going to kill somebody!
Everybody.
Okay. You're going the wrong way!
I'm the drunk.
Yep.
We're at the truck horn portion of the trip.
Yeah.
They're going to die.
Yeah. Look, I also appreciate the idea that a lot of the people who are going to get sick from COVID are people who decided not to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And
Or immune compromised. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But that's secondary. What happens is the people who are unvaccinated get it and they spread it to the immunocompromised, et cetera. And the thing is, though, it's the secondary circumstances that I think we're losing sight of. The packed hospitals, canceled flights, all the disrupted schools end up closing again. These are all the circumstances that we're not thinking on multiple levels with this. And we never have. Well, we've seen this at the surface. Well, I want to make sure I personally don't get sick. So that's the extent of my thought process with regard to COVID. And that's the wrong way to look at it. We got to see it on many different levels. And we're not seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, to quote this epidemiologist again, he said, it's very clear the airline industry is particularly vulnerable. This creates a cascading effect on society more than, say, a restaurant closing would. This is critical infrastructure, and these are essential employees, and we're endangering our economy. Stopping COVID is good for our economy. Letting it rip is the exact opposite. So, you know, that's the other thing, is it would be better for business, you know, period, to have people feel safe when they fly, you know, according to 60% of us anyway. And also, by the way, thank you for pointing out, as a high T man, low testosterone levels are low because humans were never meant to handle this much stress, coupled with pollution and food produced in chemistry labs. Get more sleep. Stop eating crap. Find a gym. Quit making it about feminists and LGBT people. Sheesh. I just like that tweet because of the sheesh.
Sheesh, yeah. Occasionally you have to
throw it. And stop tanning your balls.
Yeah, it's either that. I don't like writing the word sigh when I'm sigh. That's one of my pet peeves, when people just write sigh.
Yeah, right.
I think that's annoying. So I go with sheesh. That's my rule. Yeah, so what were we talking about? What was the topic again?
I don't remember. Here's
who
another.
Low T.
Yes, I want to mention this because this is important. If you feel like you've got low T, and that is, I'm turning into a commercial suddenly. I should be talking to Doug Flutie.
I see a disco ball above you. Uh-huh.
If you feel like you've got low T, you go and you see your GP or an endocrinologist.
Right.
They write a script for testosterone. They write a script for little insulin needles. You go in and you inject yourself once a week or whatever it is with testosterone. Problem solved. Right. Don't listen to Tucker Carlson's solutions, because it's ridiculous bro science. YouTube is loaded with that kind of crap.
You know, I'm wearing bike wear because it's outdoor bike day, and that means I will be listening to the Bob Seska Show, my fellow cyclist, on my bike right after the show.
Oh, yes.
And you commented on my Taking the Hill bike video that I am dancing on my pedals. So you right away my self-esteem. And then Kimberly tweeted about me being on MSNBC this weekend. I'm sorry.
Kimberly sitting there looking at the video going, oh, Stephanie is so beautiful. Look at Stephanie. Did you see? Do you see how beautiful she is? I go, yes, she's very beautiful. Yeah, she's beautiful.
Okay.
Kimberly sitting there looking at the video.
It happened again.
Oh, yeah. It happened again. We're laying in bed and she picks up her phone and says, oh, look how good Stephanie looks on MSNBC. I said, yeah, she looks great.
Listen,
and that was
a fake three-way in bed with you and Kimberly is the best I got these days, and I will take it, mister.
That is 100% the truth. I'm not making any of that up.
You were in bed with them, Steph.
I was in bed with Bob and Kimberly. Okay, love you, Bob.
Love you.
Love the Bob Seska Show. Can't live without it.
That's right.
See you next week.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Maybe you've been listening to Pacifica and KPFK for years, even decades, and you appreciate how important KPFK is in your life. If you're a forward-thinking donor who wants future generations to benefit from KPFK's independent journalism and unhindered creativity, then join KPFK's Legacy Circle and include KPFK in your will or living trust. For details, visit our website at kpfk.org, and thank you for considering KPFK in your future gift-giving plans.
We'd like to introduce the gentleman on the stage. This is Pigpen on organ. From Atherton, California, this is Mr. Robert Weir.
Thank you, friends.
From Marin Junior College, Mr. Philip Lesh.
That's a lie.
That ain't Philip Lesh.
From 710 Ashbury Street, Mr. Jerry Garcia.
They'll never take me alive.
Join us for one more Sunday night, your friendly Grateful Dead radio show right here on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, Sunday nights 8 to 10. And on the web at kpfk.org.
Mikey.
This is Danny Glover. You're listening to Sojourner Truth with my friend Margaret Prescott, Tuesday through